The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's March the 3rd, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grain analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Well, in agricultural news, there's growing sentiment in Congress to go ahead and challenge the president's threatened veto of the farm bill. And for its part, the Bush administration says it would consider a bill that held spending at $10 billion over the baseline if, and only if, it contained certain reforms. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour, and then he'll stick around for just a bit to give us the lowdown on tomorrow's all-day Ag Outlook meeting over at the Beef House. Let's just say that despite the weather, the show will go on. Hey, and don't forget, at the bottom of the hour, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast and just what conditions we might face during the day tomorrow at the Beef House. Stick around for this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580, public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here's the way the numbers settled in Chicago on this Monday afternoon. Futures in the wheat pit for the soft red at $10.93, up 20 today. The May futures at $11.02.5, up 16.5, and July at $10.19. finished 19 cents higher. At the Minneapolis Grain Exchange on this day, the nearby spring wheat at $18.25, up 30, or rather $18.25 was the settlement price. Oh, that's not right. I don't have the right ones up. There we go. The Minneapolis Grain Exchange settled at $18.60, up 35 for the day. May futures at $15.59.75, down 60. Now the numbers from the Board of Trade for the corn: $5.55.5, up 9.5 cents today. May futures at $5.66.5, and they finished a 10 cents higher. December up 11.25 at $5.76. March beans at $15.44.5, up 22.5. The Noves at $14.47.5, up 21.5 for the afternoon, and the May bean meal at $3.77, up 1.30. Bean oil futures March contract at $70.40, up 2.25 for the day. Live cattle at $92.65, down 1.65, and the lean hogs at $58.80, down 1.15 on the afternoon. Outside markets looked like this: nearby crude oil at $102.55, up 71 cents a barrel, and the May futures at $102.42, up a dollar a barrel for the day. U.S. dollar at 73.734 is down 0.033, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 12,187 on the afternoon.
The WILL All-Day Ag Outlook meeting is set for Tuesday, March 4th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. We've got a terrific lineup, including nationally known speakers Dan Bossi and Glenn Ring. AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser will give us the early word on planning. We'll dig into estate planning with Bill Moore of WB Moore Incorporated, and we have panels on corn and soybeans. The cost is just $13 and includes a continental breakfast and lunch buffet. Registration begins at 8:15 a.m. Eastern Time. That's 7:15 a.m. Central. The 2008 All-Day Ag Outlook meeting is made possible with support from the Andersons, Cargill, and the Archer Daniels Midland Company.
Taking a look at what the weather forecast looks like for the two-state region, a winter warning, a storm warning is in effect now for the southwestern part of Illinois. Through tomorrow evening, a winter storm watch is in effect for central Illinois from this evening through tomorrow evening, and from the west central part of Indiana through northeastern Indiana this evening through Wednesday morning. A winter weather advisory is in effect for southeastern Illinois from this evening through tomorrow night, and flood watches are in effect for most of Indiana through the various times tomorrow and portions of eastern and southern Illinois. That through tonight. The afternoon weather forecast for this evening, actually, from WILL is in the northwestern parts of Illinois, partly to mostly cloudy. In central and southwestern parts of Illinois and the northwestern part of Indiana, of course, there will be snow.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. On the line with us this afternoon to take a look at the futures market is the senior grain analyst at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. His name, of course, Kurt Kimmel. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Thanks for joining us this afternoon. Lots of new contract highs at the Chicago Board of Trade, and it took a bit of time to get settlement prices out to us today.
Yeah, I don't know quite what took place there, but everyone's anxious, especially if you're one that has to do a market report there about 1:30 or so. That didn't happen to get the right settlement, so we'll see what happened there. But another dynamic market. Once again, Asian prices led the charge overnight. We saw a lot of buying in the overseas market, especially the vegetable oil. Soybeans in China were up over 69 cents a bushel. Bean oil rose over 300 points. The palm oil itself was up over 325 ringgits. You know, just an unbelievable amount of buying. Continued talk of the Chinese situation with food inflation and maybe with some weather concerns as they approach the new crop growing season. But two, a little bit of concern about the price caps they've imposed on some ag products. They're starting to see a situation now where the black market is sort of taking over. If you have a product to sell for, say, why sell it at a lower level when you can sell in the black market for higher values, or why sell it at a lower level when you know it's worth a lot more? So it suggests that maybe that the price control system they put in place in here could be a thorn in the side here until these holders start to shake loose and put some of this stuff into the marketplace. But on the day, the funds bought about 2,000 contracts of wheat, about 7,000 contracts of corn, and over 5,000 contracts of beans. And this is the first of the month, so they thought this trend continued here for a few days.
You know, as you take a look at the numbers that came out from USDA, and we have, I think, 540 on corn and 1336 on soybeans. They round those numbers. We gave some numbers on Friday that were the exact numbers, but of course they get rounded up and rounded down. So we have 540 corn and 1336 soybeans, if memory serves me correctly. And then we're above those price levels as we go into the month of March, and that puts additional risk, or at least to the downside, for farmers to manage beyond what crop insurance can handle. What are you suggesting producers do?
Well, at this point in time, trying to decide between crop insurance or do some marketing of your own, I think time's in your favor here for about a week or so. See what happens here. We're sort of in a position here where if the market could trend sharply higher, that, you know, there might be an opportunity to shift some of this risk just off into the marketplace itself. So there's going to be a lot of pencil pushing here as we approach this mid-March deadline for crop insurance. One sort of got to sort of sit down and push the pencil and look at your own individual situation and determine how much risk you can acquire. It's going to be an emotional roller coaster here, but we've dreamt about these prices over the last 25, 30 years, and here we are. So one needs to come to the Outlook meeting tomorrow, listen to some fantastic panelists, and sort of get an idea of what you want to do as we tackle this 2008 marketing issue.
Yeah, on that Outlook meeting, I guess we've been talking to the weatherman, Dave Dickey, certainly has, all day long, trying to make sure what we need to do with that. That show will go on, and as far as we can figure, it appears that the weather will hold, relatively speaking, so that everybody can get to the beef house. But getting back out of the beef house might be a tougher trick. And what we'll do is we'll, if need be, we will shorten things up as the day progresses so that if the weather's going to get really rough, We will make sure that everybody gets out on the road as soon as possible so that everybody's safe. But we want to make sure that you understand as listeners that we're going to be there for this event tomorrow, and we sure do hope that you manage to make it in because it looks like it should be a good show. What do you think the most often question you'll get from farmers will be when they talk to you individually tomorrow might be?
Well, probably the main, there'd be a lot of little things.
Let me turn this around.
Number one, how high can it go?
Yeah.
And we're going to address that issue. Pete Manhart and myself, we've come up with a couple ideas. We're going to have some handouts for everyone to take home, just how high things could go. And if you show up tomorrow, we'll give you a little copy of that. It's a graph that shows you what could happen if things could really get real explosive.
I suppose that's my cue not to ask you how high it's going to go, so I won't.
we'll tackle that tomorrow. That'd be a good thing to come and look at. But everybody's going to have different opinions, and it's going to be quite an event. We always enjoy being there at the Beef House. Had a huge crowd last year. I've heard a lot of people's going to be there again this year, so it's just going to be one of those events you just don't want to miss.
You know, it seems to me that one of the things that producers, and we'll take this up in detail, I know, tomorrow, but one of the things that producers will be really wanting to know beyond listening to Gary Schnitke at the end of the day and learning some more about what the crop insurance might mean, those numbers might mean as they decide between GRIP and CRC and RA, is that there are some different things about this year that really the brokers and those other risk management tools will be needed to be used for, because there's so much downside risk with – there's additional downside risk with the price of commodities above the final prices for the crop insurance inputs. And then if you're using CRC, you have to protect the limits on the CRP, which are $1.50 and $3 for corn.
Yeah, and that's where you need to come to meetings to get well educated and know exactly what you're buying. I know there's a lot of trust when you do business with somebody, but of all years to know the fine print or the little details or the different options and stuff, this is it. And that's what our job as a market analysts and commodity brokers are, is to sit down with you and sort of come up some additional plans if you the market exceeds these so-called caps or limits, per se. There's just a ton of strategies out there, and we realize that everybody's just a little bit different, and that's where they are. The personalized marketing comes into the game plan here, Todd.
Well, I hope everybody comes out to see you tomorrow, Kurt.
Boy, we're looking forward to it, and we'll be there. Now, getting home, it might not be a bad idea to get stranded there for a while at least.
Well, you know, the Beef House is an awful good place to have supper, isn't it?
Well, you bet.
All right, thanks much. That's Kurt Kimmel. He is the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities, located in Normal, Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Lernard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
On hand in studio with us this afternoon is the Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. His name, of course, is Dave Dickey. Good afternoon to you, Dave.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, my partner in crime, we will have a busy day tomorrow, and hopefully people will manage to get into the Beef House. What do you hear from the weather folks?
Well, the latest I hear is, as you alluded to earlier when you were talking to Kurt Kimmel, is that getting to the Beef House may not be that difficult a trick, that early on, whatever precip that we have might come down as rain. But as the day wears on, there's a greater chance that rain will turn to either a snow or a snow ice or a snow slushy mix. And depending upon its rate of fall as the day wears on, we'll have a lot to say about how much it sticks on the highways. So we'll have to monitor situations as they go along during the day, and if necessary, we'll make every effort to get people out there a little bit earlier in order to get everybody home safely.
And then tell us a little bit about what we can expect tomorrow. Who's on the agenda? There are some big names there.
There are some big names there. Glenn Ring of Glenn Ring Enterprises out of Cedar Falls, Iowa, will be presenting 2008, a pivotal year for corn and soybeans, and he's probably one of the best technicians in the nation, knows a lot about the history of the commodities as it relates to the technical aspects, and I really do look forward to what he has to say from a technical standpoint. And then following up on last year's presentation, we're having Dan Bossy come back from Ag Resources out of Chicago, and he's going to spend some time talking about the challenges ahead in agricultural's golden age. And the nice thing about his presentation this year is it's only going to be 30 minutes long, and he is leaving a full half hour for question and answers with the audience. So if you want to pick the brains of one of the best minds in the nation, Dan is the man that you'll have that opportunity to do. And, of course, we'll have our panels on corn and soybeans like we do every year. And we have five or six panelists on each. So there will be a wide variety of opinions, I'm sure, of how to manage risk and how to take care of your profitability on your operation. And we'll... Because of the exploding land prices, farmland values over the last year or two, we're going to go ahead and dig into estate planning a little bit. And we have Bill Moore of WB Moore Incorporated, and he's going to talk a lot about estate planning and crunch some numbers with you and give you some ideas about how you might be able to manage your estate property.
All right. Thanks much, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Ag Programming here at the WILL radio stations. He'll be back in a moment with the agricultural news for the afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In agricultural news, there is growing sentiment in Congress that lawmakers should complete farm bill negotiations and send a bill to the president that may not have his support. In the words of House Agriculture Committee Chairman Colin Peterson, at some time we have got to fish or cut bait. Meanwhile, House Agriculture Committee Ranking Member Bob Goodlatte says he's even more opposed than the president when it comes to tax increases to pay for the farm bill. Friday, lawmakers failed to reach a self-imposed deadline on how to pay for $10 billion in new farm bill spending, and the weekend did not resolve the issue. Over the weekend, though, the Bush administration sent Peterson a laundry list of parameters for a successful farm bill. The letter says the president is willing to consider a farm bill with $10 billion of spending above baseline over 10 years if the bill contains significant reforms. Stuart Doan reports.
When Ag Secretary Ed Schaefer told reporters Friday at the Commodity Classic in Nashville that
strong negotiations are taking place as we speak between the administration and the trying to reconcile the differences between the House and the Senate.
The White House was delivering a document to lawmakers entitled Parameters of a Successful Farm Bill. According to a copy of the document obtained by AgriPulse, the administration says it would accept a $500,000 adjusted gross income cap for farm subsidy recipients instead of the $200,000 cap it originally sought if commodity price supports are not increased, beneficial interest provisions of the marketing loan program are eliminated, and the sugar to ethanol program is scuttled. House Ag Committee Chairman Colin Peterson had this reaction.
We're going to pay attention to what they say, but they're not going to dictate what's in the farm bill. Now, in this letter, they lay out a bunch of different criteria that they, in some cases, it says that they must have this and must have that. They haven't toned down their rhetoric as much as I've told them to.
Speaking by phone Sunday night to the National Farmers Union Convention in Las Vegas, Peterson said another one-month extension of the 2002 Farm Bill is likely in order for House and Senate conferees to finalize the eventual Farm Bill language. Stuart Doan, Las Vegas.
Friday, USDA released a report looking at some possible effects of farmers operating under the 1949 Permanent Farm Bill. USDA says the 1949 law would, quote, dramatically narrow the universe of producers who receive support and would do so in a way that most producers will view as irrational. Under the 1949 law, wheat would have a price support of $7.80 a bushel, versus the current rate of 275. The price support for corn would increase to 378. The extension of the 2002 Farm Bill ends on March 15th. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
On a Monday afternoon, it's time to take a look at the cash grain market. The folks at the Andersons always join us. Brian Stark is on the line today. Good afternoon to you, Brian.
Good afternoon, Todd.
You been busy today?
Very busy.
What are they doing?
Well, a little bit of everything. We've saw some good sales on old crop and a little bit on new crop. Also, just a lot of tire kicking, wanting to know what's going on, why it continues to skyrocket ahead of a huge acreage report at the end of the month, and just shows no signs of slowing down. I think what's pretty evident is you can almost watch the flow of money from New York into Chicago. Dow was down 350 points on Friday, and seems like the money's turned around and invested right back into commodities.
It's amazing. Tell me, what do you think about this March report? What's it going to show, and what... Well, let me ask it in two ways. What is it going to show, and if we were going to meet demand, what would it need to show?
Well, I think what it's going to show, and I'll answer your question with kind of a one-phrase statement, is I think what it needs to show, it cannot show. And I think it's a land issue. It's a shortage of land. I think it's evident that there's a potential for underestimating soybean demand this year based on exports and crush that we've seen here in the last few weeks or months. And because of that, I don't think there's going to be a big enough shift into beans, and corn's probably not going to have enough acres. So what it's going to show is a land issue that this thing probably cannot be balanced without some CRP opening up or a cutback in ethanol mandates. So what we're seeing right now transpire, I think the market's starting to prepare itself to possibly skyrocket or the light speed ahead to prices that may cut off and slash demand.
So what it needs to show is 92 or 93 for corn?
92 or 93 for corn, but at the same time show 74, 75 million for beans.
And USDA now says 90, and most traders are saying 88, right?
Right, 88, and we here at the Andersons feel a bias maybe a little bit lower than that, maybe 85, 86. So obviously that's not going to be enough for corn. And at the same time, if the demand or ending stock supply in beans is under 100 million, then all of a sudden you need probably in that 74 to 75 million area for beans. And I don't know if that number will be that high either.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fireworks, and that the basis level should tighten up. Is that right?
Well, tighten up, I guess we'll see. I think you've got a kind of a disconnect. Tightening up if we have less planted in the area. I think locale will determine a lot of that, probably closer to harvest. But at the same time, the higher the board goes, the weaker the basis is.
Your bids for the day?
541 cash corn, fall is 536, cash soybeans 1504, and fall beans 1377.
Thanks much, Brian. We look forward to seeing Larry Wood over from the Andersons over at the Beef House tomorrow, okay?
Thanks, Todd.
Thanks much. That's Brian Stark. He's a merchandiser at the Andersons here in Champaign County. Joins us to take a look at the cash grain market each and every Monday afternoon. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago about the agricultural weather forecast. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Businessman Antoine Tony Rezko smiled confidently at his wife and family today as jury selection got underway at his heavily spotlighted political corruption trial. The 52-year-old, who's raised thousands of dollars for Senator Barack Obama and Governor Ralph Blagojevich, is charged with buying political influence with campaign money. Prosecutors say he used the influence to launch a multi-billion-dollar shakedown scheme aimed at companies hoping to build hospitals or invest state pension money. While the trial's getting attention because of the Resco's political ties, Judge Amy St. Eve asked no questions today about politics when she interviewed 26 prospective jurors. Illinois' economy may be escaping recession so far. A monthly gauge of economic performance in the state has gone up for the second month in a row after a string of declines. The University of Illinois Flash Index stands above the level of economic stagnation. Its author says Illinois may be slow to follow the downturn of other parts of the country because its housing market wasn't as inflated before the recent downturn, and its economy isn't as heavily dependent as other Midwestern states on the auto industry. A cellulose processing operation in Tennessee that discharged pollutants into a tributary of the Tennessee River would pay fines totaling $100,000 in a proposed plea agreement. Federal court records show Decatur-based Archer Daniels Midland will plead guilty this week to four counts of discharging illegal pollutants to a city storm drain in Chattanooga. ADM owns and operates the Southern Cellulose Plant. The company, according to the records, never obtained a permit to release water containing cotton fibers and other pollutants. An East Central Illinois lawmaker is backing a bill that would form a commission to look at how to reduce poverty in the state. Democrat Mike Frerich says through a variety of measures, the commission could aim toward halving the level of poverty in the state by 2014. He says the issue is more pressing in Champaign and Vermilion counties than many people think. And the Illinois Attorney General says identity theft is the biggest complaint from consumers for the second year in a row. The office received more than 6,000 complaints about identity theft last year. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's time now to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather. On the line with us from Chicago and Chesapeake Energy's office is John Davis. Good afternoon to you, John.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
You know, I don't think you're headed down to the Beef House tomorrow from Chicago, but you've skated in there before, so I'm going to depend on you, John, to give me a good forecast as opposed to a bad one, and you're not going to do it, are you?
The forecast is far from good, Todd.
Tell me about it, please.
And it does not look good for tomorrow by any means. Tonight, there's going to be a mixture of kind of snow, sleet, and ice, but most of that precip is not going to be terribly heavy. I guess the good news for tomorrow, if you can say that, is that there will be somewhat of a break in the action or a little bit lighter precip in the morning. And then the upper low begins to move through. Then you start getting snow around noon through the afternoon and the evening, and you'll easily get 4 to 6 inches. Some areas north of you, 8 to 10 inches.
Wow. So we'll have to push things along. We'll get them in, and then we have to hurry up and get them back out, don't we?
Exactly. Have everyone talk fast.
Well, or we could say they were fast talkers, but we won't go there. How about that? That's not nice, is it? Oh, my gosh. Well,
it's going to be a little bit of a tough day, I think.
No, it's a tough day. Hopefully people will come out. Don't risk life and limb to get there. It's not worth that, that's for sure.
Right.
But we hope that we have a few there, and we're going to put it on one way or the other. So we better look at the rest of the world, because that's what we really need to talk about at the moment. What do we see in South America?
Well, in South America, from our summer crop standpoint, certainly no issues as we kind of finalize growth here across Brazil and Argentina. Of course, Argentina has gotten their good rains over the past week and their final dry pocket. So we really have no issues from a standpoint of any dryness across Brazil or Argentina. There are some issues beginning in the harvest across Brazil. It looks like a pretty active pattern over the next couple of weeks across some areas of south central and the middle areas of Brazil. And so that will begin to delay harvest activity, especially of their corn and early soybean crops in that region.
And then if you check in on the Chinese growing areas, how are they faring at this point as they get ready to go into the growing season?
Relatively well. You know, we do have some dryness issues across some of the northern acreage, but that's always the case at this time of year. Southern acreage continues to be quite good. I guess the one thing for China that's key is they have now gotten out of their cold pattern, which plagued them about 6 or 7 weeks, and so they are beginning to see warmth, and thus their soil temperatures are beginning to increase.
And finally, we have maybe 30 or 40 seconds left. Speaking of patterns, we're in a pattern here in the Midwest. Will it continue for very much longer?
It does look like it's going to continue. In fact, we have kind of a cold pattern across the eastern U.S. right into the third week of March. And so we think that kind of the pattern that we have right now persists for really the bulk of the month here. Certainly not a major concern for the Midwest, but in some of our southern growing areas, the southeast, the Delta, certainly not going to be the early start that we had a year ago.
Okay. Thanks much, John.
You're welcome, Todd.
John Davis is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Joining us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Monday afternoon says, well, it'll be a rough skate to get into the Beef House tomorrow for all-day Ag Outlook meeting. I promise we'll make it worth the while. Try to get there if you can. Kicks off at 7:15 a.m. Central Time, Central Time, and 8:15 if you're in the Eastern Time Zone. The Beef House is just off Exit 4 on Interstate 74, just on the other side of the Illinois-Indiana line. I'm Todd Gleason. This has been the Closing Market Report.